Welcome to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's Fiction Podcast. I'm Janet Hutchings, EQMM's editor. This month's podcast was recorded in October at the BoucherCon World Mystery Convention in Toronto, Canada, where EQMM was honored for contributions to the genre. Christine Powelson, author of the Cassandra James mystery novels and the standalone suspense novels Invisible and Cold, Cold Heart, traveled from her home in Derbyshire, England for the event. Her past work for our magazine has earned a Derringer nomination and inclusion in the Mammoth Book of Best British Crime. Here she is reading her heart-pounding suspense story, Roller Coaster Ride, from the December 2014 issue of EQMM.
The Viking longboats were silhouetted against a huge floor-length glass window that looked out over the fjord. One could almost believe that they were ready to depart on the cold, grey, choppy waters, as they had done so long ago, to land their warriors in Scotland and the north of England. Ever since they had arrived in Denmark, Helen had felt strangely at home. She'd always thought that she must have Viking blood in her. Perhaps her ancestors had embarked on one of these very boats, intent on capturing territory and spreading their genes. Sunlight broke through the clouds and glittered on the water. Maybe, after all, it would be fine for their trip to the Tivoli Gardens that evening. There was a tug on her arm. "Helly, Auntie Helly, there's a boat you can sit on. Come on, Mummy and Toby have already got in." Helly grabbed her hand. "All right, all right." Helen allowed her niece to lead her away into the next room. Helen's sister Madeline was in the boat with her son, 4-year-old Toby, on her knee. Helen and Helly climbed in next to them and waited for the simulation to begin. When it did, the sound effects were impressive. The creak of ropes, the snap of the sails in the wind, the slap of the waves on the bow. Helly gave a whoop of delight. Since the decree absolute had come through earlier in the week, Madeline had been so much more her old self. Now that she was free of Joel, she had begun to look more relaxed, and the colour was coming back into her cheeks. But she seemed preoccupied now. Their eyes met, and Madeline gave a little grimace. Yes, something was definitely bothering her. The boat stopped rocking. "More, more!" Toby shouted. "One more go," Madeline said. "Helly, would you like to look after Toby for me? Helen and I'll watch." Helly nodded importantly. She moved over to where Madeline was sitting, hoisted her little brother onto her knee, and locked her arms round his waist. He was an easy-going child and didn't object. The two women climbed out of the boat. It began to rock again, and they waved at the children. "What's up?" Helen asked her sister. "I know there's something." "Did you see those women in the last room? A middle-aged woman and an older woman?" "I didn't notice. What about them?" "I think I've seen them before. You don't suppose... I'm wondering if Joel..." Helen thought about this. The museum was a popular day trip from Copenhagen. Would it be so surprising to encounter some of the same people on the tourist circuit? "Well, maybe you have. It doesn't necessarily mean they're anything to do with..." "I know, but it might." Madeline shivered. "You know, I sometimes think Joel's a throwback to some earlier stage of civilization. A Viking in a business suit. He just takes what he wants." "Well, all the same, you think I'm getting paranoid." "No, I don't. Really, I don't." She put her arm round Madeline's shoulders. She'd always felt protective towards her younger sister. Besides, she'd been in court when the judgment had gone against Joel, and the look on his face had made her shudder. He wasn't used to being thwarted. and he still believed that he would be awarded joint custody of Toby. But there was no chance of that. Not after he'd breached the restraining order and been arrested. The social workers had recommended that even supervised access should cease. He wouldn't risk showing himself, Madeline said, but he wouldn't think twice about getting someone to follow us, or paying someone to snatch Toby. It's just we'd be so careful. No one knows we're here. It had seemed wiser to be out of the country when the divorce was finalised and the police had agreed. That's true, Madeline said, but her voice lacked conviction. The boat was slowing down. The children would be with them in a few moments. Helen took out her camera to photograph them before they got off. She had an idea. Look, when we get back to the hotel, why don't we go through my photos? I've taken loads and loads. Let's see if you can spot those women. Helen settled Ellie down with her book of Spot the Differences puzzles. They were one of her obsessions, symptoms of mild Asperger's syndrome. She was 10 years old and it was getting to be a challenge to find puzzles that were difficult enough for her. But the Spot the Differences around the world was a great success. Helen watched her get to work on two pictures of the Eiffel Tower. Her concentration was total, and she'd be happily occupied for a half hour or so. They had two rooms at the hotel, Madeline and Toby in one, and Helen and Ellie in the other. When she went next door, Toby had already fallen asleep, worn out by getting up early to go to the ship museum. Helen and Madeline sat side by side on the other bed, and Madeline watched while Helen worked her way through the pictures stored there. The bus tour that took in the Little Mermaid. The children in front of the statue of Hans Andersen in the main square. Madeline examined them closely, but always ended by shaking her head. They got back to the first day and the boat trip from Nyhaven. Helen had taken lots of shots. Churches, bridges, the new opera house. They'd been sitting about halfway down the boat, and even standing up, it had been difficult to avoid getting some of the other passengers in the frame. All tourists, of course. Danish, American, English, Japanese. All united for an hour in the shared experience of the boat ride, then scattered again to the four corners of the earth. There they are, that's them. Madeline pointed to two women sitting at the back of the boat. Helen homed in on them, enlarging that part of the image. It had been a sunny day, and the older woman was wearing dark glasses. The younger was raising a hand to shield her eyes. It was a good picture of the older woman, who had dark permed hair, strong features, and looked to be around 70. It was harder to make out the younger woman, who was partly obscured by the man sitting in front of her. But she seemed taller, and she was wearing glasses. Are you sure it's the same woman? Madeline bit her lip, frowned. I can't be absolutely sure. Not 100%. Helen examined the two faces. They seemed unlikely co-conspirators. But then, wouldn't they be the best sort? It wouldn't do to underestimate Joel. He was a successful businessman. One of those high-energy types, with plenty of charisma. When they'd met 5 years ago, Madeline had been a single mother, living alone with Ellie. He had swept her off her feet. Toby had been conceived on their honeymoon. It was after that that the jealousy and the beatings had started. It had taken Madeline 4 years to get rid of him, and he had form as far as Toby was concerned. In the days when he did have access, he had been stopped at Heathrow, trying to take Toby out of the country. I'll know them if I see them again, Helen said. Madeline said, do you think... She was interrupted by a shriek from the next room. Mousy's gone, he's gone, Ellie wailed, pointing to her suitcase. Someone's taken him. He must be there somewhere, Madeline said. There, there, Toby. He was clinging to her leg and crying in sympathy. Let me have a look, Helen said. She knelt down by the case and began to go through it. She was careful to disturb things as little as possible, so as not to upset Ellie even more. She found the little stuffed animal under a pair of pyjamas. Ellie snatched him up and cuddled him. How did he get there? He always stays in here. She pointed to the pockets on the inside of the suitcase lid. It's nice and warm and he can see out. Someone must have moved him. Helen reflected. Maybe the chambermaid. Maybe he fell out of the case and she put him back in. Now, that didn't seem likely. She exchanged glances with Madeline. With another child, they might not have given it a second thought. But for Ellie, everything had to be just so. Another aspect of her Asperger's. She got hysterical if it wasn't. I don't like anyone touching Mousie. Tears were welling up again. Of course you don't, Madeline soothed. Mousie will be fine if we just tuck him in again, won't he? And now, how about doing another spot the differences? Someone moved Mousie! Ellie stamped her foot. Let's have a look in your book, Helen said. Oh, it's the Sydney Opera House next. I don't like anyone to touch Mousie. It was fully 15 minutes before they settled her down. When they had, Madeline said, I'll just check that nothing's missing in our room. She lifted Toby onto her hip and went next door. Helen checked her own belongings. There was no sign of anything being disturbed. She checked the room safe. Her passport was still there. Madeline came back a few minutes later. Everything okay? Helen asked in a low voice. Nothing missing. But the look she gave Helen said that she wasn't happy. And nor was Helen. At the entrance to the Tivoli Gardens, they agreed that Madeline would keep hold of Toby and that Helen would be in charge of Ellie. Even at 10, she was capable of wandering off and getting lost. As they walked in, the scent of hyacinths rose up to meet them. Overwhelming, almost cloying. There were beds of flowers everywhere. Helen had assumed that the gardens were mainly for children, but there were plenty of young couples without children, strolling hand in hand, and a lot of older people too. At first, Helen scrutinised them, looking for the women in the photo, and she caught Madeline doing the same thing. But as time went on and they didn't see them, she began to relax. While it was still light, they took Toby on the carousel of pirate boats, steered motorboats about the lake, and let him pilot his own plane on the merry-go-round. The path wound underneath the massive demon roller coaster, aptly named in Helen's view. Ellie was mesmerised by it. She could have stood there all evening, gazing up open-mouthed at the dangling feet of screaming teenagers looping the loop. Helen felt queasy just looking. The sky faded to lilac, and twilight began to settle over the gardens. They were high up on the Ferris wheel when the lights began to come on, millions of them in soft pinks and reds and yellows, strung in the trees, outlining the Moorish temple against the sky and sketching the Chinese pagoda in brilliant colours. The garden shimmered and glowed in the dusk. The place had seemed worn, even a little tacky in the daylight, but now it was magical, mysterious. Ellie was entranced. It's like one of the pictures in my fairy tale book, she breathed. It really is an amazement park, Madeline said, smiling. It was an old joke, something that Ellie used to say when she was very small. The car swung slowly towards the ground and juddered to a halt. I'm hungry, Ellie said. Let's go and get something to eat, Madeline said. Grafton restaurant, decked out with fairy lights and red checked tablecloths, matched the gardens in its quaintness. Helen was looking round for a table when Madeline's fingers closed on her arm. At the same moment, she too spotted the two women sitting at a table by the window, and her heart skipped a beat. No doubt about it, one of them was certainly the older woman who had been on the boat trip. "It's them," Madeline hissed. The table next to the two women was vacant. "Come on," Helen said. "Are you going to..." "Yes, leave the talking to me, at least to start with." The women had nearly finished their meal. Helen lost no time in getting into conversation with them. It wasn't hard. A few smiles, and they were soon exchanging comments. They too were English, a mother and daughter, and they were in Copenhagen for a few days to celebrate the mother's 75th birthday. She was a striking-looking woman, carefully made up with strongly defined eyebrows. She had a northern accent that Helen couldn't quite place. The younger woman had less of an accent and was more casually dressed. "This is the highlight of the trip. I've always wanted to visit the Tivoli Gardens," the elder woman said. "Has it lived up to expectations?" Madeline asked. "Oh, I love it," she smiled at her daughter. "I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying myself." The daughter laughed. "Oh, I'm enjoying it too, and it's lovely not to worry about shopping and cooking for a while." "Have you been on the boat trip?" Helen asked. "The one that goes from Nyhaven?" "We went on Thursday." "So did we," the younger woman said without hesitation. "It was almost the first thing we did after we arrived. It's a great way to see the city." "Without too much walking," her mother added. "The ship museum's good too," Helen said, watching their faces. "A ship museum?" said the younger woman. "With the Viking longboats? Children loved it." "Oh, yes. No, we haven't been there. I don't think we'll have time. But we're thinking of coming back with my husband and the boys. Perhaps we'll go then." Soon after that, they gathered up their things and left. Helen didn't want to say too much in front of the children. She contented herself for now with, "They seemed nice." Madeline nodded. "Yes, didn't they?" When they left the restaurant, they let Ellie walk a few paces ahead, holding Toby's hand, while they conferred. "I don't think it could have been them at the boat museum," Helen said. "So it's just a coincidence that they're on the same boat trip?" "I think so." Madeline hesitated. "I liked them, and they seemed just like ordinary, pleasant people. But they didn't look much alike, did they?" "Well, neither do we," Helen pointed out. "We mustn't let Joel rattle us. If we start jumping at every shadow, we've let him win." Now that it was dark, there were even more people strolling around without children. The guidebook said that the Ferris wheel was a traditional venue for courting couples, and there was something romantic about the soft lights and the pools of darkness that lay between the rides. But was there also something a little sinister? Especially when the stillness of the night was punctuated by distant screams from the roller coaster. "Mummy, Mummy, look at that bunny!" Ellie was pointing to a bench where a young man was sitting with one arm round his girl and the other arm round a stuffed toy, a giant rabbit. They'd seen them on display, giant teddy bears too, as prizes at one of the shooting galleries. It was at least 3 foot high, and it looked absurd, surreal even. Judging by the ironic expression on the man's face, he was fully aware of that. But Ellie was gazing, enraptured. "Can I have one?" she pleaded. Helen hesitated and looked at Madeline. Madeline said firmly, "No, even if we manage to win one, we don't want to be carrying it around for the rest of the evening. And imagine getting it home on the plane." Helen agreed. "Mummy's right." But Ellie had noted Helen's hesitation. She sensed an advantage and pressed it home. "Well, can I go on the roller coaster then?" "Oh, no, no. Oh, please, please. Not the big one where you go upside down. Just the smaller one. Please, Auntie Ellie." There was a second roller coaster, an older wooden one arranged around a wooden mountain range. Certainly it was smaller, though according to the guidebook it still reached 30 miles an hour. Helen admired Ellie's tactics. No aunt likes to go on saying no. "Oh, all right then," she said. The car jerked as the train set off up the first slope and clanked as the gears bit. Helen and Ellie waved at Madeline, who was standing watching with Toby on her hip. He had his head on her shoulder and his thumb in his mouth. He was tired now. "I hope I'm not going to regret this," Helen thought, though even thinking that was a sure sign that she would. Things we do for children. She glanced at Ellie. The child's eyes were wide with excitement. Helen reached for her hand and squeezed it. Ellie squeezed back. The train reached the top and paused. Ellie gripped her hand, and then they were plunging into the darkness of a tunnel. Ellie let go and lifted her arms, copying the other children and adding her shrieks to theirs. The train rose up onto a level stretch, picked up speed and tilted. The Moorish temple swung past at a giddy angle. Trees flashed past in a blur of coloured light. The car swooped and climbed again and clunked as it reached the summit. Ellie was shaking her hand and shouting something. She was pointing down. Helen had just time to see that Madeline put Toby down and was looking at something in her hand. Helen at first couldn't make out what it was. As the roller coaster whipped them away, she realised that it was the cut straps of Madeline's handbag. The next time round, Helen had to restrain Ellie, who was shouting and struggling to get free of the bar. What Helen saw as the scene flashed past again was like a snapshot printed on her retina. Madeline was looking wildly around, and Toby was nowhere in sight. By the time they had clambered out of the car and staggered, shaky legged, towards Madeline, she was already talking urgently to a young woman who was holding a walkie-talkie to her ear. "We have a procedure for this," the young woman told them. "I have given the code and the gates are already closed. Everyone must leave by the main gate and we will stop everyone with a child who matches your little boy. His name? Toby. Yes, Toby. And he is 4 years old, blonde little boy."
"But we're so near the main entrance. They might already have had time."
Madeline was as white as a sheet, but she had herself under control. "I don't think so, but 1 minute, please." The young woman spoke in Danish into her walkie-talkie and waited for a reply. "No," she said in English, "that is not the case. No one has left by the main entrance in the last 10 minutes. Fireworks are beginning now, you see, so people are not leaving, and there has not been time to reach the other gates. Your little boy has not been taken out. You will come with me, please. We will go to the main gate now." Ellie was wailing, "Toby, my Toby!" Helen crouched down to speak to her. "It's all right, little one. We'll get him back." They followed the security guard. "I only took my eyes off him for a few seconds," Madeline said to Helen. "It's Joel. I know it's Joel." Helen was sure of it too. the cleverness, the slickness of it, the theft of the handbag, distracting Madeline just long enough for Toby to be snatched. It could only be Joel. But he hadn't been quite clever enough. The whole place is in lockdown, she pointed out. He won't be able to get Toby out of the park. Even if he could, how would he get him out of the country? Madeline started to cry. Oh, Helen, in my bag. Oh, no. Toby's passport, mine as well, and Ellie's. I got nervous when I thought someone might have been in our rooms. Helen's heart sank. There were so many ways to leave Denmark. Joel could drive south into Germany. He could cross the Øresund Bridge into Sweden. Or he could get a ferry to Norway or one of the Baltic states. And then it would be on to one of the Gulf states where most of his business was done. It would be impossible to find Toby, let alone get him returned. Behind them came the crump and whoosh of fireworks. The show had begun. They stood next to the security guards and waited. Not many people came out during the firework display, but as soon as it was over, they began to flood out. The guards stopped anyone with a small child and beckoned Madeline over, but each time she shook her head. Perhaps if the abductors saw how difficult it would be to get past a security guard, they'd give up and leave Toby somewhere in the park. Helen kept a lookout for the two women they'd talked to in the restaurant. She began to think they must have left earlier in the evening, but then she saw them following close on the heels of a group of American tourists. They were arm in arm, smiling and chatting. Ellie tugged at her arm. She was muttering something Helen couldn't make out. "Quiet for a moment, please, Ellie," she said. The two women went past Helen and Ellie, apparently without noticing them. Helen watched them, all her suspicions reviving. They didn't have Toby with them, but what if they'd found some other way of smuggling him out? Ellie was tugging again at her arm, more urgently now. "Ellie, Auntie Helly, Spotty, not Stripey, spot the difference." Helen felt a flash of irritation. "Shush, Ellie, shush." The women were out of the gate now, moving off down the pavement. Helen felt a crazy impulse to go after them, shake them, demand an explanation. Then she realised that Ellie was no longer holding her hand. She looked round. Ellie was running, her feet pounding on the pavement, going in the opposite direction from the two women. Madeline, who was bending to examine a child asleep in a pushchair, hadn't noticed. Helen hesitated, looking at the women again. But it was no good. She had to go after Ellie or risk losing her. She caught up just as Ellie reached a young couple and began tugging at the young man's jacket. "The bunny, the bunny!" she shouted. It was the couple they had seen earlier. The man was clasping the giant rabbit, and the girl had her arm through his. Helen grabbed Ellie's shoulders and pulled her back. "I'm so sorry," she said. She felt like shaking her. "To go after the toy at a time like this." The young woman smiled her understanding. The young man adjusted his grip on the rabbit and they moved on. Ellie was fighting to get free. "The tie! It's Spotty, not Stripey!" She was crying now. "What tie?" "The tie on the bunny!" she shouted. "The bow tie on the bunny! Like in Spot the Difference!" She pointed after the couple and at last Helen understood what Ellie was trying to tell her. It wasn't the same tie, so it wasn't the same bunny that she had seen earlier. The couple had almost reached the corner now, and were passing under the cone of a street light. They weren't hurrying, but they weren't strolling either. Was there something purposeful about the set of their backs? They were actually turning the corner as Helen raced up to them and grabbed the man's arm. He turned to look at her and said something in Danish that she didn't understand. His look of cool incomprehension stopped her in her tracks. Had she made an embarrassing mistake? Oh, what did it matter? She snatched the rabbit from his arms and knew right away that Ellie had been right. She grabbed the rabbit's ears and pulled. The head wasn't attached to the body. It came away and revealed the flushed face of a sleeping child. How much do you think he'll remember? Madeline wondered. Not much, hopefully, Helen said. The sedative had already worn off. They were back in the hotel. Toby had come round and had been checked out by a doctor. Now he was sleeping peacefully, seeming no worse for his experience. The young couple were in custody. As soon as they had seen that the game was up, they had admitted that they had been paid to abduct Toby. The woman had stolen the handbag and they found the passports on her. Joel was still waiting at the train station, only a few hundred metres away, when the police arrived to arrest him. In his pocket, they found train tickets to Hamburg and plane tickets from Hamburg to Bahrain. "Will he go to prison?" Ellie asked. She was on Madeline's knee, snuggled up against her. "We hope so," Helen said. "I'm sorry I was cross earlier. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have dear little Toby back." "You're a clever girl," Madeline said. "Yes," Ellie agreed. But her attention was already elsewhere. She slipped down from Madeline's knee. "I think I'll do the Taj Mahal next."
Roller Coaster Ride is copyrighted by Christine Powelson. Music for this podcast is by Realism 12 and it was obtained from the Community Audio section of the Internet Archive. Mixing for the podcast was done by Jackie Sherbo. You can subscribe to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, where you'll find more stories like this one, by visiting our website at ellerycueenmysterymagazine.com.